Forgive me, I'm not trying to redouble down on this too much, Dr. McCullough. I just wanted to make there. It seemed like it might have been cutting out. You said you felt that the 535 members of the Senate and Congress did get the full vaccination. That's your opinion, correct?
I take them at their word. I take anybody at their word. If they say they got the vaccine, they got the vaccine. If they say they didn't get it, they didn't get it. And that we wish everybody who took the vaccine, we wish them well. We will never discriminate according to who took the vaccine or who didn't. All I got to say is from Hank Aaron to Marvin Hagler to Eric Clapton, there will be people who suffer vaccine injuries. And when this happens, these people are going to be in the over 600,000 people so far and climbing who have been injured or killed by the vaccine. And if we keep going with these mandates, we will easily jack that number over a million. In the UK and in Europe right now, that number's over a million.
Okay, so how much Guillain Palsy, this is a question
for Guillain-Barré. Guillain-Barré and Bell's Palsy.
Sorry. And Bell's Palsy have you seen?
In my clinical practice, directly, I have not seen a patient with Bell's Palsy. I clearly have seen in my circle of friends and circle of patients, family members, plenty of Bell's Palsy. To my knowledge, there are thousands of cases of Bell's Palsy, which is a temporary, sometimes permanent paralysis of the face on one side. And one of the things about Bell's Palsy is a person's face is never the same again. Many times that eye can't close, and then the dry eye causes tremendous redness. It's difficult to speak and to eat food. And I tell you, to take Bell's Palsy after a COVID-19 vaccine for a viral illness, particularly in a younger person, it's like a cold. Like we're trying to take a vaccine to prevent a common cold and then end up with Bell's Palsy. I'm telling you, it's not worth it.
You have met with the state legislature yesterday, or at least members of the state legislature. Of Utah. Unfortunately, my representatives weren't in that meeting. What was there anything that you thought was a key takeaway from that? And what are you hearing from state legislators in Texas, as well as around the rest of the country, that's either giving you faith or giving you pause and concern?
I would say on the faith side, Utah legislators, lawmakers, very, very interested in early treatment. Very interested in the idea that in Utah, you have monoclonal antibodies, you have to make them available to the public. We ought to be having billboards telling our seniors where they can get monoclonal antibodies, 1-800 numbers. We need to have clinics prominently advertise that they give monoclonal antibodies. We need complete and total access to monoclonal antibodies. Clearly, high-risk seniors over age 65, those younger than 65 who present with high-risk, either early high-risk symptoms or have lots of medical problems, they need to be treated just like President Trump, just like Governor Abbott, just like Joe Rogan. They need early monoclonal antibodies, preferably on day one or two, and then follow up with the other drugs we use in sequence. Joe Rogan got on and told America, listen, I got monoclonal antibodies. I took nutraceuticals and supplements. I took ivermectin, prednisone. I took these drugs in sequence combination. Joe Rogan, the big guy, and these big guys, I tell you, they don't do well with COVID-19. He took a 30-day illness, and he made it a 3-day illness. And Governor Abbott did the same thing. Vaccinated or unvaccinated, monoclonal antibodies need to be strongly considered. So the Utah legislature was great in listening to that. They were also concerned about other issues. Big issue is vaccine mandates, vaccine safety, and then masking in the workplace. There was a lot of questions that really dealt with the failure of the vaccine. That if someone took the vaccine, they still can get COVID. They take a vaccine, they're not necessarily any safer in the workplace than someone without a vaccine. And I let them know about a study from University of California at San Diego, where the health system out there with Delta, the vaccines do not stop or cover the Delta variant. Delta is now 99% of everything we have in the United States. And so the vaccines don't work against Delta. It makes sense that vaccinated workers are going to get Delta. And in this study by Keener and colleagues, New England Journal of Medicine, those vaccinated workers generated more healthcare system worker cases of Delta than the unvaccinated. So it goes to show you a vaccine mandate in a health system is completely useless. All it's going to do is create a lot of anxiety. People are going to walk off the job, and it doesn't even reduce rates of COVID.
Okay, We've got two callers that would like to ask you a question. I want to do just a couple key thoughts that I have, at least for me. You know, I'm not the, haven't been in medicine, not really studying on it, but I thought my understanding is once something starts having variants, cold starts getting its variants, there's less issues with death. Like, we hear tons of cases. We hear our case counts are starting to go up and rising, but we're not hearing anything about death. So is it correct that they're not as lethal? They have a tendency not to be as lethal the further this goes along. One, two, even Steve has shared with us from some of his medical friends and some people that are in the medical field that are in the hospitals are telling me a vast percentage of those people that are in the hospitals right now actually have been the vaccinated.
Yeah,
so I realize that's two questions, but your thoughts.
Okay, let me tease this out. So I taught through producers. I taught Laura Ingram on Fox News, Ingram Angle, the concept of Mueller's Ratchet. Mueller's Ratchet is a concept that in the unvaccinated natural history of a viral outbreak, that the virus keeps mutating, and the virus doesn't want to kill its prey. It wants to keep its prey alive, and so the virus mutates to become less lethal. That's called Mueller's Ratchet, okay? That's unvaccinated. What happened was we started fooling with Mother Nature. And in a paper by Neeson and colleagues out of the Mayo Clinic, what Neeson showed is that we normally have 12 to 14 variants of SARS-CoV-2. When we started vaccinating, we hit 25% vaccinated. Now we cause a evolutionary pressure on the virus to have the virus need to adapt in order to best survive in the vaccinated environment. And the answer was, this strain of the virus that beats the vaccine is Delta. So that's the reason why we used to have 12 to 14 diversity in the United States, and now we don't have any diversity. The vaccination precipitated the Delta outbreak. Now, the Delta outbreak, because it's hitting younger people, we know that older people get Delta, and then they can pass it to younger people at high viral loads. Two studies show this, one from Cao out of Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam, the other one by Liu out of Guangzhou, China. The vaccinated are, in a sense, Delta super carriers and super spreaders. So they are not only getting the infection themselves, but they're spreading it to young people. Fortunately, younger people have a better survival in the hospital. So it is true, despite a ton of cases of Delta, which is hard to treat, I'll tell you, because I've tried to treat these patients, and a lot of sick young people, they're still surviving. Thank goodness the majority are still surviving, although I am aware of young people who are dying of Delta. Now, the second question is, you know, are vaccinated people ending up in the hospital? Well, the CDC has told us and shown us on their website on two occasions, one in July and one in August, that they have thousands of vaccine failures being admitted to U.S. hospitals, thousands. And it's on their website. We can just go to the CDC. Sadly, 65% of those who are being hospitalized and dying who are fully vaccinated are over age 65. So the vaccines are failing our seniors. These are the people who we wanted to protect the most. Now, in a paper by Haver and colleagues from the CDC through the COVID Net Research Network, which is representative sample of the United States, in June, 23% of all Americans hospitalized with COVID-19 were either partially or fully vaccinated. And that was not with 100% Delta. As we move into July and August, I can tell you that number is going to go up. So as we sit here today, the percentage of Americans in hospitals who are vaccinated is clearly above 23% and probably somewhere between 23 and potentially 40% or so. I think that would be a fair estimate. So this is clearly not a problem exclusively of the unvaccinated. Do you know that hospitals do not test people who are vaccinated before procedures?
Yes, I do.
See, the CDC tells them not to do that. Do you know the CDC will not count a vaccine breakthrough unless they're at a low cycle threshold, less than 25. A lot of places are still using, you know, 30, you know, 25 up to, I saw somebody at 45 the other day in a cycle threshold. So the CDC has lots of mechanisms to underreport COVID vaccine breakthrough failures, and the hospitals have no way of confirming who's been vaccinated. So unless somebody brings in their vaccine card and really proves their case of being vaccinated, most people admitted to the hospital are in isolation, and they are assumed to be unvaccinated. They're assumed, but not proven to be unvaccinated. So that's the reason why we get this false talking point of 99% of people in the hospital unvaccinated. That is an assumed number that's not proven.
Okay,
Steve, let's let you ask your question, and then we'll get to some calls.
Yeah, we probably didn't get to some of these calls. We got some calls backing up here, some sharp people coming on. Let's factor in this. We're coming up soon. At least they always tell us when the flu season starts, when the weather changes, it gets a little cold. So if you use the combination of giving people the flu shot along with the COVID shot, they may hit you all at the same time. This has got to be a perfect storm for a disaster. Would you agree?
I agree. I published a op-ed in The Hill last year, and it was called When the Flu Season Hits the COVID Season, Are We Going to Be in Trouble? And the one thing I didn't anticipate is that our original PCR test, the methodology from the CDC, cannot distinguish between flu and COVID. So God knows how many people last year really had the flu and they were misdiagnosed with COVID because they came in, the hospitals were incented to diagnose and treat COVID, and they never looked for flu. They checked a COVID test and it was positive. So they were labeled as COVID, but in fact they had influenza. So this PCR debacle by the CDC will go down in history as yet another low point for our public health agencies and their methodologies. But I can tell you, my judgment is, as an internal medicine doctor, medical specialist, don't double vaccinate people. Spread it out. Let's keep the flu shot away from other vaccines. I would say the same thing for the shingles and the pneumococcal vaccine. The influenza vaccine and the pneumococcal vaccine and the shingle vaccines that our seniors are looking at are far safer than the COVID-19 vaccines, and they're far more effective.
Right.
So if you're looking at getting a value on a vaccine, get an FDA-approved conventional vaccine and get the value out of it. The COVID-19 vaccines look like they don't stop COVID-19. They're not effective enough in people, and they clearly are not safe enough in people to widely utilize right now in medicine. There are calls to remove these vaccines off the market. There have been two petition letters into the FDA from a doctor's group, a nursing group. In the UK, there's an evidence-based consulting group has a call in, and there's a paper by Bruno and colleagues, large author block, 17 authors, a group out of France as well, smaller lab early on. All of these entities are saying, shut the program down. The vaccines don't work well enough, and they're not safe enough for general use.
All right, let's go to Dr. McCullough, thank you. Let's go to Tom. Tom, in Bountiful, you've got a little bit of a background yourself in these type of things. Tom, what question
bit,
do you have
think?
For Dr. Peter McCullough?
Peter, I think we met in the middle or late 90s. Anyway, I'm trying to remember where. I'm 80, by the way. I've got two simple questions. The vector or the fomite package that carries the agent that creates the symptoms of COVID, and what else in nature is lethal to it? In other words, what elements of nature are deleterious or lethal to the, quote, COVID pathogen? And that's it. Oh, yeah.
That's a terrific question. You're bringing up the issue of how do we zap the virus? Well, let me tell you a great update. We just put this into our recommendations. I'll tell you one. Povidone iodine or betadine, the brown solution that they use to sterilize wounds in the ER, what have you, can buy cheap, a dollar a bottle. You put a couple drops of that in a juice glass of water, turns the whole glass of water. You don't put a lot, just a tiny bit. And you get brown betadine water. You can swish it and spit it in your mouth, gargle with it, kills the virus on contact. You can spray it up your nose with a little nasal sprayer. You can actually buy betadine nasal spray if you want to. Or you can just use a Q-tip up in your nose. And by doing that twice a day, you markedly reduce your chances of getting COVID-19. It's prophylactic. There are multiple randomized trials, other controlled studies that show this. The dentists have been using these principles in the dental offices to protect their workers and the dentists. And even when they have patients who get COVID-19, they teach them to do that to cut down the viral load. What we're finding out with Delta is there's huge viral loads, 251 to 1,000-fold increased viral loads. And people will carry the virus for a few days. They can't spread it at that time, but they can carry it for a few days before they become symptomatic. One of the things you can do is you can zap your own virus, and you can actually stop the COVID-19 infection in that pre-symptomatic phase. Multiple studies show that if you can't tolerate iodine, next in line you can use hydrogen peroxide, dilute, You can use sodium hypochlorite, which is actually household bleach, just a few drops of bleach, the same thing. That actually works. And believe it or not, the American Dental Association recommends that for Epstein-Barr and cytomegalovirus. So it's very, very interesting. Household bleach, very safe, super dilute. You just need a tiny bit of it. And then last in line, you can use Listerine. Listerine has some effect, but it's the weakest of all the two.
It's glycemic, yes.
Povidone iodine is the way to go. Get a brown bottle, get a dollar. It'll last you forever. A couple drops. I learned this from Paul Gossett, anti-infective dentist in Chicago, Illinois. Really solid, great evidence base. We now have this in the recommendations by the Truth for Health Foundation as a prevention measure. And then the other things that kill the virus in the environment. You asked about that. Hand sanitizer does. Almost any hand sanitizer, dilute bleach works.
How about
great.
Sunlight?
Any hand sanitizer works. What's that?
How about sunlight Sunshine. And oxygen? Sunlight.
I don't know about sunlight. I do know that ultraviolet, I think there are...
Ultraviolet's what we use in the theater, operating theater.
I'm not an expert on this, but I am generally under the impression that ultraviolet works. I'll tell you another thing that looks like it works is air exchange. Just reducing the viral burden. So I think about 60 air exchanges an hour. One of the things we do when people get the virus is
free oxygen is lethal.
Get outside. Yeah, I tell
people
in Texas now, we got good weather. They get COVID-19. I said, front porch or back porch? You pick it. You just keep rotating. The other thing we can do with people who have the virus, as long as they don't have a fever, you know what we can do? Exercise. We can exercise. Dr. Yvette Lozano in Dallas.
No, you can't make any money off of that.
No, listen to this. I went to her clinic, and she turned her whole clinic into acute COVID treatment center. Right in the middle of the clinic, she has an exercise machine, arm, leg, ergometer. I said, well, Yvette, what are you doing? She goes, are you kidding me? I have people with low oxygen saturation. They come in. We can exercise. We improve pulmonary function. We get sustained improvements in oxygen saturation as she's intensively treating these outpatients for COVID-19. So a pastor got COVID-19. He got pulmonary involvement. I had him outside. Actually had him on a bike. I said, as long as you have a fever, get on a bike, force the blood through the lungs, and he improved. And exercise and sunlight, everything about it, fresh air, vitamin D, pulmonary blood flow, good for COVID-19.
Well, I ask you one favor, Peter. Go to gassingamerica.com and call me. I need to figure out where you and I came together. I did 30 lectures in 32 colleges and universities on zoonotic epidemiology. And I remember your name from that experience, but I'm trying to pin it down.
We may have circled. I went to the University of Michigan School of Public Health, a terrific place. We may have circled. I'll tell you what would be easier is go to AmericaOutloud.com.
Well, I was assaulted and blinded in D.C., so I don't have vision or internet.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, then I'll come to you.
A whistleblower pays a price in D.C. Yeah, go to gassingamerica.com and call me. My phone number is at the bottom. By the way, you'll find that a very interesting website and the information there. John knows me personally.
Yep.
Okay.
As I do, too.
And Steve does by extension.
Yep. Tom, thanks for your time. Appreciate
Thank you.
Dr. McCullough, we're about to be hitting break, but we do have a lineup of people that want to talk to you. So, Melissa, I think we're going to get to you next. Melissa, hopefully we can get your question in before we hit break, and then Dr. McCullough can answer it on the other side of break. Melissa? Oh, never mind. Okay, Melissa dropped. So we will go to James in Canada, if you're still there.
Yes, thanks kindly for taking my call. Greetings, Dr. McCullough. I appreciate your time. I was wondering, they talk about messenger RNA in these so-called vaccines. Do we know what the molecular weight of this mRNA is?
I believe the molecular weight is in a paper I've just published with Anthony Karagoglis out of Athens, Greece. But that paper is findable, and we spend a lot of time on the messenger RNA. The unique thing about the messenger RNA are the nucleoside analog caps at the 3' and 5' ends of messenger RNA. They make the messenger RNA unbreakable, and it's not disposed of nearly as easily as what we thought. And it probably is giving the messenger RNA a much longer lifespan that we're comfortable with.
Right.
All right, James, hold on. We'll let you have a follow-up with Dr. Peter McCullough, and Steve Elkins. Thank you for joining me. Sam, our producer, you're doing
outstanding. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
I remember when I lost my mind.
Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Talk with John here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, we didn't have the top of the hour break, so I'm just going to do kind of a quick top of the hour intro, as it were, even though it's not the top of the hour. Today is September 11th, 2021. And I want to give out real quickly, I want to give out my show prayer, as it were. This is the prayer of my heart. No need to fold your arms, close your eyes, bow your head. I hope my show is a gift back to my forefathers, the founding fathers, and may it be an acceptable token to our Father above. Then my show mantra, where there is liberty, there is the Spirit of Christ. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there will be liberty, and the greater the Spirit of Christ, the greater liberty will be. That's why I have people like Steve and Dr. McCullough joining me. I don't know where they fit with their spiritual views, so I hope they'll forgive me with that, but that is where I'm at with mine. And we're talking about liberty and principles of freedom and liberty, and I'm so grateful that they are joining me here today. Thank you, Dr. McCullough, and thank you, Steve.
Well, thanks for having me. I'll volunteer that my faith in God and Jesus Christ, my faith as a Christian, has been greatly strengthened during this pandemic. I do feel in many ways it's a struggle of good versus evil.
Well,
I agree with that.
Thank you for being on the team of good. All right. So we have some other callers. Let's see. We have, let's get back to James in Canada. James, did you have a follow-up question for Dr. McCullough?
Yes, I did. Are we relying on the mechanism of intercalation with this messenger RNA to intercalate with DNA and then rewrite the DNA? Is that the way it works?
That's not the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to go in the cytosol, and then the body accepts it, and then there's transfer RNA that brings in the amino acids, and we assemble the 1,200 amino acids, spike protein. That's what's supposed to happen. There are data now, and the Chinese are messaging us, that the natural virus looks like it can reverse transcribe. That is, it can lay down some DNA right back into our DNA, into what's called the HERV region, a special region of the U.S. Of the human chromosome.
See, I've been working at rewriting over DNA for about 23 years now, and I use a very, very low molecular weight compound. That was hence my interest in knowing about the molecular weight of the messenger RNA they're using. So, anyway, thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. So, I want to ask this question before. I want to make sure that Kathy, I think it's Catherine's there. But before we get to her, this may take us down a different rabbit hole. Dr. McCullough, it seems like those that have not wanted to jump on full bore with the vaccines in the medical field are being chased out of the system. I'm going to pull up an article real quickly. I'm not even going to get into it, but it said it's New York Hospital to pause baby deliveries after too many staffers in maternity unit quit over vaccine mandate. Isn't that the most profitable part, or one of the most profitable parts of the hospital? Yeah. That's shocking.
Well, I'll tell you what, if there's going to be any backbone to these resisting these vaccine mandates, it's going to be the nurses. The doctors have bought the vaccine narrative completely.
Yep.
And most doctors, honestly, they're at the point they're doing ridiculous things. I heard of a vignette today where there was an acutely sick patient with COVID-19 in the hospital, and the doctors were trying to treat him by vaccinating an acutely sick person. I mean, they're at the point where it's just a vaccine psychosis that they're in. So the doctors, I think, are a lost cause. They've been incredibly fearful of COVID-19. Most of them didn't have any courage to even try to treat a patient. And they've been just, literally hiding from the virus for a year and a half. And so they are the biggest proponents of the vaccines are the doctors. The nurses, they're the ones seeing the injuries. A lot of them are women at childbearing potential. They know the risks of pregnancy. They know the risk of birth defects and other things that could happen with an unknown product. The nurses are taking a much more reasonable stance. And you're right. If the nurses walk out of a labor and delivery, they walk out of an operating room situation, the hospital, not only the hospital profits, but just the care they deliver drops. The bottom line is the vaccine mandates are ill-advised. Hospital systems should follow the Cleveland Clinic's lead and drop these mandates.
John, can I ask a question?
Please do. Sorry.
Yeah, Dr. McCullough, I had an incident happen a couple of weeks ago. I have a kidney stone issue here I've been working on, and probably from my own doing from dehydration. I try to hydrate a lot, but I live down here in Florida, so I have to consume a lot more water. So my last follow-up appointment with my nephrologist after I had a renal stent placed and then my kidney stones were blasted and basically then the stent was removed. So I did a follow-up with him, and he walks in, gowned up, looks like he had two gowns, he had a face shield on, and he had two masks. One was an N95, and the other one was that worthless blue one that everybody seems to wear, and he's wearing a face shield also. And so he makes a comment, I wish this was all over. I thought he was having a rough day, and so I decided to pick his brain a little bit about COVID to find out he's one of those physicians you were just talking about. They're drinking the Kool-Aid, and he was waiting and excited about the booster, hoping the booster would end all of this. He did not believe in natural acquired immunity post infection and recovery. He did not believe in that.
Let's finish.
Well, I can tell you, he's going to be disappointed.
Let's finish up on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
All right, Republic Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with John. I'm your host, John. Kind of funny how that works. It's Talk with John because I like having dialogue with these fascinating guests that I do. I'm so privileged to have Dr. Peter McCullough joining me right now, as well as Steve Elkins, the host you know, the host you love, here on Sundays, and also joins John Statmiller on Monday evenings. Dr. McCullough, I'm going to say this. Melissa, if you'll call right back, we'll get to you right after Catherine. Steve, finish up your thought. And
yeah, then I was just relaying an experience I had with my physician, my nephrologist, and like I said, he's double masked. He's got a face shield. He's taken two jabs already. And maybe even three, and he's talking about a booster. He can't wait to get the booster. He wants this all to be over, actually, as if we'll go back to a normal. No, I don't think we're going to go back to a normal. I think that's why they came up with the term new normal. But he evidently is drinking the Kool-Aid, and that's very frustrating to me to find people in the medical field that are not going back to the education they had. Like I said, I went to school at IU. I had a pretty good medicine program there, and I had microbiology and virology, and I had all the classes and never heard of a such thing. There's no such thing as an asymptomatic spreader, infectious person. It's not possible. Evidently, I'm baffled how many doctors have bought into this propaganda, these lies, and I'm praying and hoping that we find more infectious disease doctors to step forward to say, that's not how it is. I know these guys are pretty smart on the ICU floors. I mean, an infectious doctor comes in, they look at the labs, they look at the the lab cultures. They know exactly where they're going to go with this. And so many are just keeping their mouths shut. Is it because of the medical boards, or are they drinking the Kool-Aid also?
Well, your diagnosis was kidney stones. Your doctor's diagnosis is vaccine psychosis. And he's suffering from vaccine psychosis. That means he, honestly, he is so scared of the virus, and he has actually been brainwashed to think that he's going to be saved by the mask and the vaccine. And he's going to be sadly disappointed. We know that masks don't work. There's been 12 randomized trials. We've tried everything. They don't stop the virus. We now have data from Israel, a paper by Teitelbaum out of Haifa and of Tel Aviv. They've clearly shown, listen, there are 2 million people into the Pfizer booster. The Pfizer booster is still 30 micrograms of Pfizer. It's just another dose of Pfizer. Pfizer does not cover Delta. So they are vaccinating into a situation where the vaccine doesn't cover Delta. And so they already have had a whole bunch of booster failures. So now people are getting COVID-19 after the booster. So your doctor is not going to be saved by the booster because the vaccines aren't being adjusted to cover the mutant strains.
Right. Well, what I'm actually expecting from him, Dr. McCullough, is, and I see a lot of doctors doing this now, it's been the news that doctors are saying they're refusing now, they're disregarding their Hippocratic oath of do no harm. They're saying now that if you haven't been vaccinated, I am no longer going to care for you. And they're talking about ERs, triaging the care that comes in. If for some reason you have time to ask somebody a question in an emergency situation, have you been vaccinated? And if you say, no, I have not, well, we're not going to care for you. You know, this is crazy stuff. I securely believe in the Hippocratic oath of do no harm. But I'm actually thinking that my physician here, how brainwashed he is on this fear propaganda and all this misinformation, that I expect a letter in the mail just saying I've taken this position that I am no longer going to care for anybody who has not been fully vaccinated, and the hospitals will sit back and go, that's your right. You know, you can refuse people. What do you think the possibility of that happening globally here across the nation, that physicians saying, I'm not going to care for people unvaccinated?
Well, one of the good things I heard at this meeting is there's no such thing as fully vaccinated. Our agencies have told us, listen, these vaccines don't work and they don't last, and now you have to get in line for a booster. So nobody's fully vaccinated. They're just in line for the next shot. So there is no such thing as fully vaccinated. So the issue is it a big deal to be partially vaccinated or not? The answer looks like no. The bottom line is, if a doctor attempts to discriminate according to vaccine status, whether it's hepatitis B vaccine, influenza vaccine, tetanus, or COVID-19, that type of discrimination is probably from a civil perspective, it's illegal. People should demand routine conventional care, okay? And if they don't, they can sue the doctor for abandonment.
Thank you. Good question. Good answer.
All right. That brings up more questions, but let's get to Catherine. Catherine, you there? What's on your mind?
Dr. McCullough, I've been holding 26 minutes, and I have a series of questions I wrote out. Forgive me if I sound assertive, but these are very important questions, and I'm in a rural location, and I don't have my medical team here. My doctors are scared to death to answer hard questions. I'm the daughter of a nurse epidemiologist who is the clinical epidemiology risk manager in a setting. And you might even know my mom, probably not, though, but she was a manager in Texas, Longview Regional, and then in Gladewater when the hospital was open there. And she always highly suspected MMR vaccine triggered the type 1 diabetes that I got right after it when I was 2 years old. I'm 59, okay? I've been at war with the medical industrial complex my entire life, and I find it somewhat sad to hear, like, even John Stadmiller, you know, he's like, I think I've been in a bubble. And I'm like, yeah, I think everyone I know that's moderately affluent is in a bubble. They do not understand the war that I have been at my entire life to maintain access to care because we can't afford a cash pay, right? So anyhow, it's kind of sad in a way, but I get treated like a dog so much of my time, even though I'm highly intelligent. Actually, there in Dallas, one of the epidemiologists wrote my reference for medical school, but I would have had to live without health care during this schooling. I'm not kidding you. So I had the doctor interviewing me take my data that I had researched. I've been in the UT Southwestern Medical Library with the core curriculum textbooks, doing my own due diligence. So my questions, thank you for your outspokenness, and I pray for you often because I know the pushback, because I got it, okay? Just as a little dweeb
Chaplain,
when I was pushing.
We got big phone. Can you get to your questions, okay?
Yeah. I'm going. I know the host took up a lot of question time, too, so please bear with me if you could be so kind. Dr. McCullough, first question would be, again, I said thank you, okay? The MMR type 1, the iodine, exactly what's the ratio there? 2 drops per what?
Oh, for betadine, I would just put a few drops in the glass, juice glass. You know, just a few drops, not even to fill the bottom of the glass, and then fill it up with water.
Four drops, 4 ounces? 4 drops, 4 ounces?
That's fine. Yeah, it's just a small
amount. And is that betadine?
It can be betadine, right. And
okay.
You ultimately want to get to a 5% solution, but swish and spit it, gargle it and spit it out. Don't swallow it, and don't make it very concentrated, just very dilute.
Okay, thank you. And then the next question would be this. I know someone very close to you, and I have to be very judicious what I say. Bottom line, if they need to somehow keep their job, okay, where they've been over 30 years, do you take local patients, and can you help someone troubleshoot the documentation?
Well, I am in a practice, in a cardiology practice in Dallas, and I'm oversubscribed right now, so I see patients for primary cardiology problems and people in the scope of my practice, if they, you know, have, in my judgment, a medical exemption or they approach me for it, I help them out with the medical exemptions. I will take new patients if they have a primary cardiology program, a problem, and that's in the scope of my practice. Otherwise, if you email me, then I can put you in contact. There is about 500 doctors in the United States who are helping patients out with COVID-19
He's in Dallas.
And medical exemption.
He would need someone right there in Dallas near you. So if he emails you and he puts it in the subject heading, you know, Catherine called in and asked, you would get that email and be able to tell him locally there where he could go. He works 13 hours a day. He doesn't have time to listen to the radio and just sit around, you know, doing what I'm doing right now. So thank you. But I will give him that message. And then if you had air miles, would you not use them? I've got over 100,000 air miles, and before we go on another lockdown, if you had 130,000 air miles, it cost me $80 to go to a beach, you know, a beautiful beach. Where would you recommend avoiding flying completely, or what would you do with that situation? Would you fly at all, or would you just stay home?
Catherine, thank
Somebody
you for those
who
questions.
Has not had COVID and susceptible. If the question is someone who's, I assume, still susceptible to COVID-19, I think traveling is perfectly fine. Just don't travel when you're sick and take reasonable measures. I think the highest risk place to get COVID-19 is a public restroom. And public restrooms have poor airflow. A lot of people go in there. The virus comes not only out through the mouth and coughing and sneezing, but also comes out the GI tract. So, you know, try to avoid public restrooms the best you can. Keep yourself clean and travel and have fun.
All right, let's get to our next caller. Sam, can you put, I think it's Mick in New Mexico. Mick, jump to your question, please.
Hey, hello. Yeah, there's something y'all keep missing. What was it God said not to do, put in his temple?
Mick, I am not getting that question in any way, shape, or form. Rephrase
it. But it does qualify. This is one thing that very Jews, it's holy to the witch trials. If we don't start following the orders of God, well, he said, you're not supposed to put stuff in your body. Y'all know better than that.
Okay. Mike, sorry, I'm not understanding you. Steve's not understanding you.
For no, let's move on. Next caller.
We'll move on.
Sorry, Mick.
All right, so let's get to, I believe, the next person up. I can't even find it. Derek in Florida.
Hello.
Derek, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Fire away.
Okay, I got three quick little questions. All right, in January 19, I got sick, which we believe it was COVID. Could that have been COVID?
In January of 19?
Yes, sir. I had a dry cough, fever for high fever for 5 days.
2020.
No, sir. January 19.
Could it have been COVID, Dr. Peter McCullough?
I don't think so. You know, I'm not an expert on the origins of the virus. People always want to think really early on that I got COVID, myself included. Believe me, this is something, I don't know, this is a dream that we all got COVID really early. Every time we've looked into it, it's never panned out. Every time. So
I got you. The only time I remember having a fever. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, like anybody else, I got really sick in February of 2020, actually more sick than I did with COVID. I thought I had COVID. All I did was fake myself out, and I was really disappointed when I got COVID later on. So that's really all I can say. It's just, it's impossible to know. Chances are you didn't have it, and, you know, keep on guard for symptoms.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I got it. I've only been sick for, like, you know, once when I was a kid, once when I was in my 20s, and then, like, last year I'm in my 40s.
Forgive me, Derek.
And it was...
What is your next question? We need to jump to it, because we're just about at the end.
Okay, sorry. I believe asymptomatic spread is a myth. Can the vaccinated spread anything if they're not symptomatic?
No, we don't believe so. Again, in the Chow paper from Ho Chi Minh City, they use the word pre-symptomatic, meaning that they could measure the virus in them, but they were pre-symptomatic. The spread, as far as we know, occurs when people have symptoms. It makes sense, honestly. If the virus is in the back of your nose or your mouth, but if you're not coughing and sneezing and breathing it out, you're not going to spread it.
All right, and then your last question.
That's it. I forgot it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Derek. Appreciate you being on.
Okay.
Steve, you said you had another question.
Yeah, let me squeeze in a question here. Is a term that it kind of came into the media, then it disappeared, and it came back again. Long haulers, these people that have COVID and they've recovered, but they haven't recovered. They're kind of dragging on with the same little bit of the symptoms. What can you tell us for right now, our health wise, other than nutrition, hydration, you know, avoiding sugar, alcohol, things that suppress the immune system, and maybe some supplements? What else can you tell us that we should be doing to help boost our immune systems? Because we're not going to get those PSAs from government or the CDC. So what else can we be doing right now?
Long hauler syndrome is related to a long, untreated, severe case of COVID-19. That's the first thing. If patients get early ambulatory treatment, we can shut this 14-day viral replication phase down to about 3 days or 4 days. And it's all about how long does the virus rip in the body. If the virus rips in the body for a long period of time, you can end up with long COVID syndrome. About 50% of people end up in the ICU. They have long COVID syndrome. They have neurologic injury. It can be central or peripheral nervous system. They can have cardiac injury, a mild elevation in troponin. It's not myocarditis, but it's a mild cardiac injury. They can have muscle fatigue, weight loss. I've had family members lose, you know, over 40 pounds of muscle with COVID-19. So this long hauler syndrome, a lot of it's because of the catabolic strain. I think a lot of the recovery, the naturopathic doctors actually are making great strides in what types of nutrients and supplements can help people rebound. I try to follow a few principles of the iRecover program. The iRecover protocol is by the Frontline Critical Care Consortium, flcc.net. Get the and download the protocol called iRecover. I think the two drugs that probably play a role are a short course of prednisone, not short, but over a course of a month. And I use Fluvox or fluvoxamine, 25 milligrams twice a day, and increase the dose to 50 twice a day to see if I can't take a little bit of edge off the neurologic injury and promote recovery.
Okay, very good. Very good. Thank you for that answer.
What about vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D, any of those we need to focus on, or zinc?
Well, I'm not an expert on this, but I'll just say in general with neurologic injury that the nerves are more needy were the water-soluble B vitamins, B6, B12, folate, particularly methylated folate. And so in general for neuropathies, diabetic neuropathy, other non-diabetic neuropathies, and even in long COVID syndrome, I would either defer to a naturopathic or integrative medicine specialist or attempt to try to at least provide higher doses of these B vitamins and folate.
Dr. McCullough, I've got a question for you. This has always been baffling me. Trying to, I always like to figure out the puzzle here. In the ICU, we get a lot of we get homeless people sometimes that on the street they come in
emergency
through the ER, and then they go into the ICU, and of course they're depleted. Their nutritional status is so poor. We immediately look at the labs, Chem 21, Chem 7. We look at the labs and we say, "Oh my gosh, you know, they're a train wreck when it comes down to their nutritional status." So we immediately hang up the banana bag, and you know that big yellow banana bag, to get them all the vitamins and minerals and things that they're depleted from. I'm just trying to figure out how, with their immune systems, that these people walking around homeless have never really come in with COVID. They're not coming in COVID positive. They're not the sick ones. They're coming in for other things, but not COVID related. Can you maybe put an idea explanation on that?
You know, there was a paper published about homeless people and COVID, as I recall, in 2020. And even though rates of COVID positivity were pretty high among the homeless, as I recall from that paper, I think you're right. I think the rates of hospitalization and death were quite low. And one of the unique things about being homeless is being outside. And one of the observation is all the countries where the population spend a lot of time outside, they're having an easy time with COVID. Why? Because you don't spread the virus very easily outside, and you don't get huge inoculums. You don't get a big dose of COVID. People are blasting each other with COVID because they're inside. And being inside is a contained area where that virus cannot be diffused. I tell people, get outside. I think that one of the reasons why homeless people are getting through the COVID-19 pandemic is because they spend so much time outside.
So Dr. Lee Merritt joined me a couple weeks ago. I had her on my show, and she shared with me that she goes, John, a lot of the vaccinated countries are not getting hit hard, and she brought up in Africa, and she goes, just get outside. That's one of the best vaccines that you'll have for this that you could possibly get, is just getting outside and getting some vitamin D. Yeah. And that's why we're going to have to be a little worried here in Utah in about 3 months from now.
Yeah. Well, it's true. You know, Texas, we can be outside pretty much from September 15th all the way around to June 15th. That's kind of our outside season. We have had our share of COVID, but we never locked down. We don't wear masks. We go to restaurants. Our public school system shut down, but our private school system stayed open. We kept our economy going, and we ended up, big state, we ended up 24 in the nation in terms of cases and deaths per million population. So I don't think these public health measures, masking, lockdowns, honestly, have influenced much. And I do have a sense that fresh air really matters. There was a study from Singapore showing that when people are outside, it's nearly impossible to transmit the virus to one another, even if you're sick.
We had an off-air question. Dr. McCulloch, do you have an email that people can, that you're willing to share, or a way that people can reach out to you that way?
The way I'd like people to do it is go to America Out Loud Talk Radio, America Out Loud Talk Radio, and go to shows, and then pick the McCullough Report. And in the McCullough Report, you'll see a lot of content. I interview people from all over the world. There's good written content. We're doing questions and answers that can actually answer a lot of these questions, treatment information. And then you can always drop a comment in there to me. I do receive an overwhelming number of emails per day. I try to answer each and every one of them, but I tell you, it is a labor of love. And I'm really short on email. And I tell you, I get some long ones where people want to give me the longest set of details. People are attaching their laboratory values, and I just can't be the doctor for the whole country. I advise a lot of other doctors. I encourage everybody, go to your doctor. If your doctor has questions, then have them come to me.
Well, I would say when you reach out to someone in Dr. McCullough's position, you need to make it like one or two sentences, just a few sentences, and that's an easy one to get answered. Don't give him lots of background. He doesn't need it. So how about this? Dr. McCullough, why don't you tell us how people can go about to going to your program? Let's let you mention that. I think that's only fair with you spending all this time with us. We'd sure like you to share with us how these people can go and listen and hear what you have to say.
Well, again, go to America Out Loud Talk Radio, America Out Loud Talk Radio, and you'll see the content. Now, it's run by Malcolm Out Loud,
Dr. Lee for America is there, Dr. Lee Vliet, Dr. Henry Ely, who was mentioned at our conference as a leading naturopathic doctor, is a regular contributor. A lot of terrific authors. Content is way more than medicine. It's very broad-based. It's politics, it's social science, contemporary topics. But go to the McCullough Report. You can follow me there. I just submitted my files after midnight here at the conference in Utah, and then already it's in perfect publication form here. I have a wonderful excerpt. I spent time with Alex Jones this week down at InfoWars, as well as with Owen Schroyer and the War Room, terrific media folks. I give some clips of that. I have America Out Loud, Talk Radio, the McCullough Report. I also want to update you that I am the chief medical advisor for the Truth for Health Foundation. Now, the Truth for Health Foundation is really solid. They have teaching videos. They have the home patient treatment guide, which is really important, in-hospital guide. So there's a guide of questions to ask if you have loved one in the hospital, really valuable. There are all kinds of resources for vaccine exemptions, vaccine knowledge. They do have a program. It's called Stop the Shot, and it's pretty straightforward in terms of what it means. It means stop the shot. And the other important thing is there's an opportunity for philanthropy. So many people ask out and say, listen, how can I really help from a monetary perspective? If you go to Truth for Health Foundation, truthforhealth.org, and go to the donate, and one of the important donation sections is called the Medical Censorship Defense Fund. Medical Censorship Defense Fund. Do not indicate my name. Just check that box, and that deduction becomes tax deductible, which is really important. So, and all the support is extremely well appreciated. Many doctors like myself are under tremendous pressure right now. I'm being sued by my health system because I go on the media like here, and we have a fair interchange of scientific data. And believe it or not, I am being made to pay a financial consequence for free speech in America today.
Well, it's obvious that you believe in what you're saying because you're willing to join in this fight. That's huge. Melissa from Maryland, if you're on, I'll give you like a real... Oh, sorry. That's my mistake. No, she's not. Okay, so... Steve, I'm going to mention real quickly this yourhealthfreedom.org. Once again, yourhealthfreedom.org is where Dr. Peter McCullough is right now. And my understanding is, yes, to your question, Steve, earlier, are they going to be recording this conference? Are people going to be able to view it? Yes, they will. They will be releasing that. And I'm not exactly sure what platform they're putting it out on. Hugetube. Will be one of those locations. And Dr. McCullough, thank you for joining us. Steve, you got a follow-up question?
Just a privilege and an honor to be speaking with you, Dr. McCullough. I just have the greatest respect for what you're doing here. And thank you for really, you know, putting it out there and risking it all, because I wish more physicians would be like you and be courageous and show courage and spine right now to bring out this information. Because as I said, this is damaging. It may not be immediate, but we may see months and years down the road some terrible, terrible things happening health-wise with these people who have taken the shots. So thank you, sir, for coming on today. I appreciate the show.
Well, thanks for hosting. And what we're doing is we're having fair scientific discourse. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Dr. McCullough, God bless you. God bless you, Steve. Thank you all. It's been Talk with John. Catch you next Saturday.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic.